Thanks for listening to this week's Wellspring Church podcast as Pastor Trey Kelly leads us in the series, Believe.
Come on, I didn't fool you, right? You knew. I was asking the guys back, because I was like, so when you saw the video for the first time, did you believe it? They're like, no, we didn't believe you could make a cork float in midair. You're not a sorcerer. Maybe I am. Hey, we're in the middle of this series we're calling Believe, right? We're talking about the lies that we believe, that the things kind of, even as an adult, that we've kind of accepted as a culture, and we believe. And the reason we opened with that trick there, that illusion, was because those lies are the same thing as that illusion, right? It might look right, but it's not real. It's absolutely not true. And so we're kind of trying to debunk some of these so that we can live lives that are full of meaning and purpose and truth, because nobody wants to get to the end of their life and realize that they've been basing everything on a lie. And today, we're going to pick back up where we left last week, and we're going to look at another lie that I believe many of us, in fact, I'm going to say every person in this room has believed this lie at some point. And I would even say most of us in this room, this lie plays a part in our daily life. And this is a lie that was actually taught to us, right? We didn't come up with this lie on our own. This lie was taught to us by a guy everybody loves to discuss in church. His name's the devil, Satan, Beelzebub, whatever you want to call him, right? And I know a lot of people, man, I don't want to talk about Satan in church. I don't really know how I feel about Satan. It's funny, like in culture, you can talk about God. And most people generally say that they believe in a God. And you know, especially in this country, the majority of people would say they believe in Jesus, that Jesus was real, that he existed, and they're not really sure if he was God or not, but we've talked about that before. But they believe in that. But man, you ask people if they believe in the devil, they're like, no, I'm not, you know, because you picture like the guy in red with the horns, you know, like, the devil, you know. And so, you know, we don't really like to talk about this guy, but we've got to talk about him because he's very real and he hates your guts. Like he does. He despises you, and his kind of goal, his goal for existence is to destroy your life. It's to thwart God's will for your life, because he hates God, and God wants good things for you, and so he wants bad things to happen to you. And he's been doing this to us literally since the beginning of time. See, the very first people we ever see in our Bible, in the book of Genesis, is a man named Adam and a woman named Eve. Right? And what Satan did with Adam and Eve is he tricks them. He tricks them into believing this lie that I want to talk about today. And here's the lie. The lie is this: I can negotiate with God. Now, even as I say that lie, some of you are like, oh, I don't believe that. No, I don't believe it. But you do. And I do. And we all do. It really just depends on the degree to which you believe it. Some of us believe it about little things. Some of us believe it about bigger things. Some of you are here today, you don't believe in God at all. And so you believe it about the most ultimate thing, because God loves you and believes in you and wants to have a relationship with you, and you just don't even care. You don't even believe he's real. And see, the reason we believe this is because Satan taught us this. And he taught us this from the very beginning of time in the Garden of Eden. And I know sometimes you talk about Adam and Eve, people are like, come on, Trey, really? Like, that's a Bible school story. You really believe that there was a man named Adam and a woman named Eve? Really? And here's what I always say to that. Well, I believe in Jesus, and Jesus believed in Adam and Eve. Jesus talks about Adam and Eve like they were real people. And anybody who can predict their death, burial, and resurrection and pull it off, I believe what they say. He says Adam and Eve were real. I believe they were real, right? That's kind of the end of it. And so, for me at least, and so you have Adam and Eve, and they're in this garden, right? God creates this beautiful place called the Garden of Eden, and he gives it to them. He says, this is your home. I want you to live here. I want you to enjoy each other. I want you to go out and multiply and just create families in the earth, and you could do whatever you want. There are no rules. You can eat whatever you want. You can do whatever you want, except there's one rule. I have one thing. There's just one tree right here. And this tree, because I love you, I'm just telling you, if you eat from this tree, you'll die. and I love you, and I want you to do that. So don't eat from this tree. That's it. Don't eat from this tree. Everything else, and you're going to be great. And so some of you know the story. Satan comes along, and he's talking to Adam and Eve. They're kind of hanging out together. You know, we always blame it on Eve, but it says Adam was right there with her, so he was talking to both of them. And he's like, hey, did God really say that if you eat from that tree, you'll die? And she's like, yeah. And Satan's like, dude, you ain't going to die. No, see, God's lying to you. See, God knows that if you eat from that tree, you're going to become like God. And you're going to know the stuff God knows. And you're going to be able to talk to him, and you're going to be equal footing. And see, God doesn't want that. God's holding out on you, man. God's trying to keep you down. But me, I'm keeping it real. Because I love you, and I want to help you out. And Adam and Eve, because we all have this inherent nature, this inherent desire to distrust authority and to distrust God, looked at Satan and said, okay, we believe you. Now, on the face of it, it doesn't make sense, because all God had ever done up to this point is love them and take complete and total care of them and provide everything they needed and hadn't asked anything in return. He'd been completely loving and had never lied to them, but for some reason, they just believed he did. They said, God, I know what you said, but I kind of want to try something else, because, see, they thought they could negotiate with God. And so they ate the fruit. God comes along, says, yo, what happened? They immediately felt shame. They felt guilt. They felt regret because they sinned. They stepped outside of God's sweet spot for their life, and they felt emotions God never intended us to feel. Do you know that? You know God never wanted you to feel guilty? God never intended you to feel shame, ever? That's Satan who did that. That's Satan who tricked you into believing you could negotiate with God. So anyway, they get kicked out of the garden, right? They can't stay in the garden. Their relationship with God is broken because of sin, because God's perfect and holy and he can't be around sin. So you would think that Adam and Eve would have learned their lesson. And they would have been like, okay, never again. We are not going to disobey God. When we have kids, we're going to teach our kids not to disobey God. You do what God says. You don't negotiate with him. But that's not what happened. They have some kids. They have two sons, two boys. We're told in the book of Genesis. They have two sons. In Genesis 4, it says, when the two sons grew up, Abel became a shepherd, while Cain cultivated the ground. Cain and Abel. Maybe you've heard the story of Cain and Abel. Two sons who grow up. One becomes a shepherd. One learns to cultivate the ground. That's every parent's dream. Two kids who could take care of themselves. Parents, it's okay to high-five each other right now and say, yes, it is. It's okay to glare at your kids and say, yeah, that's why you're going to school. We're counting down the days till you move out. So that's what happens with Cain and Abel, right? Cain and Abel, they're there, and they... They grow up, and one becomes a shepherd, and one becomes a farmer. And one doesn't try to negotiate with God, but one does. And it's fascinating to me, because you would think his mom and his dad would have taught him. But it was too late. The lie had already been planted in our souls that we could negotiate with God. And so what happens is Cain tries to negotiate. He says, when it was time for the harvest, Cain presented some of his crops as a gift to the Lord. Now see, this is an example of what we just did. It's returning back to God what we believe is his. See, God has been asking people to do this from the beginning of time. The very first people. God's like, hey, I gave you the soil, and I gave you the water, and I gave you those crops, so I want you to return back to me a portion of that as a reminder that it's all mine. And Cain's trying to do that. And we're told that he presented some of his crops. He presented some of his crops. He presented some of his crops. The reason some is important, because then we go to Abel. And it says that Abel also brought a gift, the best of the firstborn lambs from his flock. Abel brought the best. Cain brought some. Abel brought what God asked for. See, when God says, I want you to return back to me, he says, not only is it, like in our we believe God calls for us to return the tithe, which is 10%, but it's not just any 10%. It is the first 10%. It is the best 10%. So God basically said, hey, whatever you guys harvest, I want you to return the first best 10% back to me as an offering. And that's what Abel does. Abel brought a gift, the best of the firstborn lambs from his flock. Cain brought some. Abel brought the best. Cain brought what he could. Abel did what God asked for. Cain said, God, let's talk about this. Let's make a deal here, because I know you want the first, I know you want the best, but dude, did you see some of the, I mean, this is like a great harvest this year. Like I could make a ton of money on this stuff, man. We could eat for a month. Man, this is awesome. Dude, I can't give you the best, but I'll give you some. Dude, I can't give you, God, what you asked for, but I'll give you something. And we've been doing that ever since. Every one of us in this room has had this conversation with God. Every one of us in this room has said, God, I know what you're saying, but God, I hear you, man. I know what you're saying. I know what you want me to do, but you don't understand. But I can't hear, and here's why, and hear me out, God, because I know you're a patient, loving God, so I know you're going to hear me on this, but I just can't do what you're asking me to do right now, and here's why. Now, see, you never realized you were believing a lie. You never realized you'd been lied to. But you have been lied to, because you are negotiating with God. Think about it. Think about it. God, I know. Man, I know every time I go to church and we talk about how we're supposed to love people, and God, I know I'm supposed to love people, but do you really mean my boss? Have you met that guy? God, I know you're supposed to love people, but even the umpire at my kids' baseball games, he's a moron. I mean, literally. God, I know that you say I'm supposed to forgive. I know I'm supposed to forgive. I know. But you don't really mean my sister, right? Because what she did was so unacceptable. God, I know you don't really mean her, right? God, I know. Oh man, we just did it. We just did the offering, and now he's talking about money again. God, I know. I'm supposed to give you 10%. I know. But these bills keep coming in, and this keeps happening, and that keeps happening. And God, you know what my checkbook looks like. I can't do it, God. You know, I know what you're saying. But man, I just can't do it. And God, next thing they're gonna do is they're gonna start talking about serving again. All this church does is try to get us involved and plug in, and man, I'm running out of ways to not fill out that connection card. And Eric tried to talk to me the other day in the lobby, and I want to thank you, God, for giving me those ninja moves so that I could avoid him. I think you gave me a cloak of invisibility, God. I know, man, and. Funny thing, God, is I know where I'd be great. Like I love kids. I love hanging out with kids, but I just don't have time, God. I know I don't. And God, I know. Well, they always talk about, you know, getting involved in groups and hanging out with other people. And God, I'd actually like friends, but dude, I don't have time. And you know that. And I know what you're saying, God. But I don't know. God, I know I'm supposed to be the leader of my family. And I know I'm letting that down, and I know I'm supposed to be the leader, God. But God, I know we're supposed to prioritize you, and I know being in church is important, and I know all that matters. But have you ever heard of travel soccer? Have you ever heard of travel baseball? You have, haven't you, God? I've always heard baseball is your game, God, that you made it, and so I'm worshiping you as we drive. I know what you're saying, God, but we've all done it. We all do it every single day. And here's the danger. When we begin to believe that we can negotiate with God, that we can bring our terms to the table, what happened here with Cain? When Cain brought God some and Abel brought God what he asked for, what Cain did was Cain invented religion. See, people will call Christianity a religion. I do not believe it is a religion. Christianity is a relationship with God. That is the point. He saves us. We have a relationship through Jesus. We don't do anything to please him. There's nothing we can do to make him happier with us. There's no list of things we have to do to make none of that. It's purely a relationship with Jesus. That's it. That's it. But what religion says is, all right, let me come up with a list of things that I can do. And as long as I do these things on this list every day, it means God's happy with me. And if you'll notice, most people's religion, the things on the list are things that are easy for them to do. The things that aren't on the list are things that are hard for them to do. Have you not noticed this? I grew up Baptist. One of our things was can't dance. You know why? Because Baptists can't dance. It was easy. Ain't got no rhythm anyway. Let's say we can't dance. Well, see, that's what religion does. And the reason religion gets so dangerous is because this idea, this myth, this lie Satan sold us that we can negotiate with God, we begin to believe it. And we begin to trust it. And we begin to put our faith not in God, but we make a God out of our religion. Some of you are here today because of religion. You showed up at church because it was Sunday and you had a bad week. And your religion says, as long as I show up on Sunday, God's happier with me than he was last week. And it's just not true. God is not mad at you. God does not get happier with you. It just doesn't happen. God loves you completely and totally and perfectly. God loved Cain even in this moment. But see, religion gives us this false sense of hope, and it's dangerous because it's a lie. It's an illusion, just like that spinning cork. And I do not want you to get to the end of your life and realize you have been living and putting your faith and hope in an illusion. And any time you use the phrase, I know what you're saying, God, but you are living an illusion. You're living a myth. You're believing the lie that you have standing to negotiate with the God of the universe. I don't, you don't, and Cain didn't. And God makes it abundantly clear to Cain that this is the case. The Lord accepted Abel and his gift, but he did not accept Cain and his gift. It's right there. Cain thought he would. But it doesn't matter. This wasn't easy to hear. It doesn't matter how well thought out and logical it was to Cain. It doesn't matter how much his heart told him it was true. But my heart says so, and you got to do what the heart wants. It doesn't matter that he had friends who were like, yo, Cain, you got to be you, man. You give, yeah. Man, God is love. God accepts us all. And all paths lead to God, and it's going to be great. It doesn't matter how many celebrities he saw on television talking about how they're just spiritual. Like none of that mattered. None of that mattered. God asked for something. Cain didn't do it. And God said, well, that ain't going to work. Do you know why? God does not change. You can't change his mind. He's not up there thinking, well, you know what? I never thought about it that way. Thank you. Jesus, get in here. Come here. Man, this guy, he's blowing my mind. Did, Did you know this? Man, my apologies. I'm sorry. We'll change. It sounds funny, right? But it's what we do. It's what we do every time we're walking along and we have that little check in our spirit that says, we should call this person, or we should help this person, or we should offer something for this person, or I should let them do this, or I should do that, or, you know, I really have been meaning to get involved at the church, or I really have been meaning to do this. I should do that. I know what you're saying, God, but not today. Next week. God will come to church 3 weeks in a row, and if you tell me to do it all 3 weeks, the last week, I might do it. But if it's raining, I'm not going. And actually, in 3 weeks, it's going to be May. And if it's sunny outside, maybe we can go to the beach. So, God, I'll get you this fall. How's that sound? Thank you for taking care of everything in my life and blessing me completely. I'll see you in 6 months. That's what we do. It's how we feel. It's how we think. And I think this little picture we have at the very beginning of God's story is so clear, because God makes it clear from the very beginning. I'm God. You're not. If you want a relationship with me, it will be on my terms. I love you. I am desperate to know you. I'm desperate to have a relationship with you, but I love you too much to allow you to believe you have any power in this relationship, because it's utterly ridiculous. And so he rejects him. And Cain does not like it. This made Cain very angry, and he looked dejected. We don't like it when our religion doesn't work. We don't like it when the things we think are supposed to please God don't please God, and we don't get our way. Some people stop going to church because they really thought if they went to church every week for 6 months, their business would grow. And when God didn't pay off like a lottery ticket, they're like, I'm out. Never realizing they were the one negotiating the whole time. They had brought something to the table God never said. God never said, I'll make your business grow. God said, I'll make your heart grow. God never said, I'll give you more money. He said, I'll give you more satisfaction. I'll give you peace. I'll give you contentment. I'll use you to accomplish more than you ever imagined possible. You can wake up every morning and go to bed every night knowing you are being used by the God of the universe to accomplish his purposes in this world. That's what he promises. And you're like, but I want a jet ski. How do I get the jet ski? I don't know. Work harder. I don't know. Get a friend with a jet ski. That's the best kind of jet ski to have. The best jet ski is not your jet ski. Anyway. So Cain's dejected. Cain's upset. He doesn't get it. And God very lovingly tells him the truth. He says, why are you so angry? Why do you look so dejected? He says, you will be accepted when you do what is right. He's not mad at him. He's very lovingly saying, like, he's not pushing him away. He's not saying, get away from me, Cain. I hate you. He's just saying, I love you too much to let you believe this is okay. It's like when you send your 7-year-old boy to go take a bath, and he comes back in 30 seconds. It's like, I love you too much to go to school smelling like you do. Because between 5 and 7, they start to stink. And when you tell them to go take a shower, it's like you're saying, I'm going to punch you in the face. Like, ah, 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 ah. It's like, I love you too much to let you smell like you do. And sometimes I think that's what God says to us. He's like, I love you too much to let you be that foolish. I love you too much to actually make decisions believing you are God. I love you too much to actually let you believe you can control the future, or to let you believe that you even know what's going to happen. I was like, I love you too much for that. This is not going to happen. So what are we going to do? If you know the rest of the story, Cain did not handle the rejection well. and he murdered his brother. So let's not do that, okay? But no, he got so angry because he found out the lie was a lie. He had believed a lie, and he was angry. Every one of us in this room at some point will be confronted with the fact that this idea of negotiating with God is a lie. My prayer is that you'll be confronted by it today by the Holy Spirit and allow Him to change you from the inside out. That's the easy way. Or you can be like most of us and wait until you learn it the hard way. See, the easy way is very easy. Because all we have to do to be right with God, all we have to do to be accepted by God, is believe Him. That's it. That's it. That's all we have to do. Is believe He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to live a perfect, sinless life. Never made a mistake. To believe that He gave His life on our behalf. That He sacrificed to have our sins erased so that we could have a relationship with the God of the universe. And all we have to do is then say, all right, Jesus, all right, God, You're in charge now. I'm going to follow You the rest of my life. That's it. That's all we have to do. See, Jesus makes this very clear in John 14:6. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through Me. Let me make this very clear. No one except through Me. No one except through Jesus. No one except through Jesus. Last time, no one except through Jesus. Those are the terms. Not by being good, not by giving enough away, not by showing up at church enough, not by taking care of orphans, not by voting a certain way. So that's what we think, right? But God, I hated all the right people. I hated them. I forwarded all the forwards I was supposed to. I liked all the things on Facebook. I shared all the articles. What's wrong here, God? And He'd say, no one can come to the Father except through Jesus. That's it. Jesus solves the problem. This is not a negotiation. It's a buyout. You have no say. You have no power. But it's okay because you've been bought out by somebody whose sole goal is to love you and to give you the absolute best life possible. And so we skip ahead to a guy named Paul. Most of you know who Paul is, but Paul was an early church pastor. He was also a writer. Paul would write letters to churches to give them instructions on how to follow God. What we believe as Christians is that Paul was actually being led by God Himself when Paul was writing those letters. And so we can read these letters almost 2,000 years later, and we know what God wants us to do with our life. And in the book of Romans, in chapter 10, Paul explains what we should do, how we accept this buyout proposal, and how we can be made right with God. Here's what he says. He says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord, not you. Jesus is Lord, not your parents. Jesus is Lord, not your spouse. Jesus is Lord, not your kids. Jesus is Lord, not Oprah. Jesus is Lord. It's close, but Jesus is Lord. Jesus is God, and I'm not. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised you from the dead, you will be saved. You will be saved. Why? For it is by believing in your heart that you're made right with God, and it's by confessing with your mouth that you are saved. You see, some people, I grew up Baptist. I've known this verse my whole life, and I've always thought it was a one-time thing. But it's not. It's a daily, moment by moment, action by action, confessing. You are God, and I am not. I want to do this, God. You say to do this. Well, you're God, and I'm not. But God, I want to do this right here. But I know what you say to do. You're God, and I'm not. I'm going to confess it with my mouth. I'm going to confess it with my life that you are God and I'm not. See, we still want to say this. I know what you're saying, God, but. I know what you're saying, God, but. So here's my challenge for you today. If you're in the room and you have a relationship with Jesus, man, you love God. You love this, but you got to be honest. You have done some negotiating. One word. It's one word. You just got to change one word. Just change one word and everything changes. Stop saying, I know you're God, but. And just change it to, I know you're God, and. That's it. One word. Just one word. Because when you say, I know you're God, and, the only logical words that can follow, I know you're God, and I'll do it. Because you're God, and I'm not. You can't say anything else. I know you're God, and I'll do it. Because you're God, and I'm not. So if you're here today, and you would admit, yes, I've negotiated, I've struggled. Only you know, what is it God's asking you to do right now? What is the thing that every time I preach for the last 6 weeks, it pops in your head, and you are just pushing it out, and you're, I'm not going to do that, God. I told you I would never work with students, and I'm not working with students, and quit asking me about it, God. No. I will murder a student. There's no way I'm going in there. Is it, I know you're God, but? Or I know you're God, and I'll do it. Because you're God, and I'm not. See, I don't know what step God's asking you to take, but I know he's asking you to take one, because he's always asking us to take one. That's how our relationship grows, is he asks us to take steps of faith. He asks us to take steps of obedience. He asks us to step out of where we feel comfortable and safe. And he says, hey, let's try something new here. And here's the amazing thing about being the pastor of this church is that I get to see people take these steps. I get to see people stepping into environments where they never imagined that they would be and where they'd never want to serve. And now they're coming to us and saying, hey, don't ever give me a week off. This is amazing. I love this so much. Don't. I'll tell you if I need time off, but don't give it to me. I love it so much. You know how that happened? Because they stopped saying, I know you're God, but. And they said, I know you're God, and I'll do it. Because you're God, and I'm not. Who does God want you to forgive? Who does God want you to love? Who does God want you to serve? What does God want you to do with your money? What does God want you to do with your time? What does God want you to do to get into a situation where you have people around you who are walking through the very same things you're doing? What does God want you to do at work? Teenagers. What does God want you to do in your relationships? Didn't think I was going to say that one, did you? You were hoping so hard. You've been hoping the whole time, but you know you need to break up with him. You know you do. Why isn't he here with you? Exactly. He doesn't believe in God, and he's asking you to do things you shouldn't be doing. You're like, I know God, but I love him. God will bring you somebody else. Break up with him. You can do it right now if you want. Take out your cell phone. I say it all the time. My pastor said we have to break up. I don't care. Married couples, what is God asking you to do that you're afraid to do? See, some of you have one foot out the door. And you'd be saying, I know what you're saying, God, but this is too hard. I know what you're saying, God, but I can't do this. And God's like, you're exactly right. You can't, but I can. You just got to trust me. What is the step? I don't know what the step is, but you do. And you have to decide. Is he God or are you? You going to continue to believe the lie? Are you going to allow the truth to set you free? The choice is completely yours. Now, some of you today, you need to take the very first step. You can't even negotiate with God because you don't even have a relationship with him. We can change that right now. I want everybody to bow their heads and close their eyes. And if you're here today and you're here and you're saying, man, I came into this. I'm not sure if I believed in God. I'm not sure what I thought. But, man, something's going on in me. I feel like God's talking to me. I feel like he's real. I want to do something about it. Then it's very simple. You pray in your heart as I pray out loud. Pray these words. God, I'm sorry. I've tried to negotiate with you, and it won't work. Today I declare that you're God, and I'm not. I admit that I've made mistakes and that I've gone my own way, and I believe your Son paid the price for me. I believe his death, burial, and resurrection makes it possible for me to have a new life. And I commit to making you my God for the rest of my life. I will be an I know your God and kind of person. Your God, and I'm not. Now, I want you to look at me. If you just prayed that prayer, I want you to know heaven's going crazy and your life just started over. I have one request. Remember that verse you read from Paul said, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, don't worry, I'm not going to make you stand up and confess with your mouth right now. That will be awkward. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do, though. Confess it to us. Let us know. Because your first step of confessing it with your heart, with your mouth, really is to be baptized. It's to go public with what God's done. And we want to know what you need to do. So underneath your car, underneath the chairs, is a card called a connection card. It's very simple. You can confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. This is going to be your first act of obedience, your first act of saying, you're God and I'm not, because some of you would never do this, but God wants you to. Simply fill out that card. Give us your name and your information. Check the box that says, today I became a Christ follower. That's it. That's all we want. And we want that so that we can follow up with you about baptism and so that we can follow up with you about how to begin to live this new life, how to live the life that Jesus died to give you. We just want to know. So confess it with your mouth. You can do it as we sing this last song. We're going to close with a song that my prayer is every person in this room, as they hear this song, God will bring to mind things that he wants them to do, things that they've wrestled with about, things they've negotiated. And may we be people that say, I know you're God, and I'll do it because you're God, and I'm not. Let me pray. God, we love you so much. We thank you for your patience with us. We thank you for your love. Father, may we be overwhelmed by the truth that you're God and we're not. And may it change everything. So in your Son's name we pray.
Thanks for joining us this week for the Wellspring Church podcast. For more information, sermon downloads, and more, visit us at wellspringchurch.tv.